back to the Steve Cochran Show.
.841 now, we continue, and in studio, Lincolnwood's own Renee Bernberg Silberman and her husband, Dennis Joseph Silberman, is what, working on teeth today?
Yes, he is.
And you are both children of survivors?
Yes.
Of the Holocaust?
Yes, we are. Both, all of our parents were survivors.
You're both co-hosting a mission trip of about 75-ish, I'm told?
Yes, to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum.
Yeah, the National Museum is in D.C. I've been there.
Great.
And it's incredibly moving.
Yes.
It's not easy, but I think everybody ought to be putting it on a list to see it. I think kids ought to be required to see it.
I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of important lessons that are contained in the history of the Holocaust. And the U.S. Memorial Museum does a wonderful job of educating people about not only the history, but the lessons of that history. So I'm really excited when I hear that people are going, especially adults, because adults can pass the information that they learn on to kids.
What's it like to be a second-generation survivor?
It's been an interesting journey. I never knew anything different. My parents were very loving and wanted me and my siblings to have a normal American life.
When did you find out that they had suffered?
I knew that they had suffered from a very early age because my mother's story was that she was hidden by a Catholic woman, and that Catholic woman was a part of my life growing up. So when I met this woman...
What a hero.
She was definitely a hero, my hero, and a hero to many others.
Sure.
She hid four Jewish people during the war. I grew up knowing that this woman had saved my mother's life. Now, my mother didn't want me to grow up hating people, so she didn't tell me details of the story, how she ended up with Marisha, until I was in my 20s.
What an incredible amount of grace.
Yes.
To be able to not pass that bitterness on.
She was a very optimistic person. And even though my mother had lost her entire family, she felt that we were a gift to her. Her children were a gift to her. And she wanted us to be able to grow up and feel that we could accomplish good things in the world. So she was very optimistic.
Your husband's story similar?
A little different. His parents never really talked about their experiences. Mm-hmm. His father had been in six camps and survived. His mother had been a partisan or one of the freedom fighters, kind of on the run the whole war. And they were older when they had my husband, so they didn't talk very much. But the one story that his mother did tell him was about how she basically lived because of the luck of being hidden behind tomato plants. It was kind of a crazy story.
One of those small stories that I'm sure there's thousands and thousands of, but they're incredible.
Yes, every story is unique. Every story is incredible. Every story has an element of luck or somebody helping the survivor in the story.
Well, the reason I asked specifically about second generation is because you literally do not exist without the heroism that saved your mom, your dad, your parents.
Exactly.
So there's a special sort of weight or, I don't know, weirdness maybe about that that no one else could know.
It is a weight, but it is a certain form of resilience also, because mm-hmm. we feel that our lives as being gifts, as being miracles, that we have this strength to let the world know that even in the most evil times, goodness can exist.
Absolutely.
Humanity can prevail. And that's why we are so excited to share all this along with the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum.
It's an amazing trip that you're going to be taking. You know, I think about it because we're so overwhelmed with politics now. And you think about our relationship, and forget about the guy in the White House now for a second. I'll try to, if you will. But the grace that goes with the greatness of this country and the greatness of the survivors, because the people of Germany had to survive Hitler as well in a different way. In our relationship with Germany, the way it's flourished for many, many years, in the same way our relationship with Japan after World War II, it's amazing.
Yes, it is. I think it's a testament to people, to human beings wanting to get along, to humanity wanting to thrive. And one of the lessons of the Holocaust is that if people respect each other as human beings and view each other as all having equal rights to exist, that the world can be a better place. But we have to watch out for those danger signs of how a Holocaust can evolve or how a genocide can evolve.
I want to bring Edna Friedberg in. Edna is a historian at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington. And Edna, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on. Well, the conversation is fascinating as well. When people come to the museum, what do you recommend?
I recommend that they allow time. Everyone ends up spending more time than they expect. We're right on the National Mall in Washington, quite literally in the shadow of the Washington Monument, and don't think you're going to duck in and duck out. This is troubling history in the best possible way, in that it pulls you in. It makes so many connections to our world, to our own ethical dilemmas, and people are usually there for 2 hours, 4 hours. We have a current special exhibition called Americans and the Holocaust that we launched last year to mark the museum's 25th anniversary. And really, it is the story of us. It is the story of the American people. What did average Americans in the 1930s and 1940s know about what was happening to the Jews of Europe? What did they read in their morning paper while having their first cup of coffee? And it challenges us, I think, to look at our national ideals in a different way.
Demographics, I assume, are across the board. There's kids, there's older folks, there's everybody in between.
There's everybody. We get around 1.7 million visitors a year walking through our doors, close to 20 million a year online. Of our visitors, around a quarter are school kids. I sometimes feel like we get every eighth grade class in the country coming in March and
April.
I
hope you do.
Yep. And about 90% of our visitors are not Jewish, because this is not a German story. It's not a Jewish story. It has those parts, but it's really a human story. It's about the way societies and communities and interpersonal relationships can devolve so quickly when subject to the wrong conditions.
You know, since you have visitors from all over the world, there's no question that you have German descendants who German nationals who are there standing side by side with Jews who have family members who have gone through this nightmare. When I was at Pearl Harbor, my dad was a World War II guy. I saw Japanese veterans, as a matter of fact, standing side by side with men who had served. When I was at the 9/11 Museum, I saw Arabic men of age, the same age of the guys that flew the planes in. You know, and not comparing or contrasting any of these travesties in history, but isn't it amazing that the humanity wins out in the end? I mean, there's some real optimism there.
There is. And to me, actually, the most meaningful visitors who I see at the museum and with whom we, the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, conducts trainings around the country are actually professionals, working men and women who are in positions of influence or power in protecting democracy and promoting human dignity. So, for example, we train every single new FBI recruit in the country. We work with police officers, beat cops and officers in the Washington area and further afield. We work with judges in state judiciaries across the United States. So people who are really there as the safeguards to our democracy, to the values we hold dear, and who can look at their contemporaries or at their colleagues in this period in history and see what went wrong, because Germany was a democracy, a fledgling democracy, not the strongest, but it was a democracy, and it very quickly changed into a government that had harnessed all its resources in the service of genocide. So we see that as part of our mission as the Holocaust Museum in Washington, as the National Memorial, is to ensure that those institutions in the United States remain strong, remain vigilant, and remain cognizant of the precarious position they can be in.
I'm an adopted kid. I grew up thinking I was Jewish, and 23andMe and my birth mom cleared that up. But I've always had Jewish friends, and there was a phrase we always kicked around with, well, you need a good rabbi. Everybody needs a good rabbi. I would assume you see every single day, and the people at the museum see people who go out and they become that good rabbi, regardless of their faith, and they go out and talk about what they saw.
Yes, absolutely. And to me, it's always really heartwarming and reassuring. Like Renee, I am the child of a Holocaust survivor. And as you said so perfectly, Steve, at the beginning, this is not easy history. It's not a fun place to visit. And I find it so gratifying when I see entire families taking time out of their vacation because they know it is important. They know it'll spark conversations that they want to have with their teenagers about something meaningful, about more than just screen time or pop stars or whether their shirt's too short, you know, but about real human ethical issues and what we see our role as being in the world. And it is quite affirming to see how many people recognize the value of this history, whether they have a personal connection or not.
I'm going to talk more with Renee in a second, but Edna, what is the website for the museum?
It is USHMM.org, United States Holocaust Memorial Museum.org.
USHMM.org. Thank you for what you do every day, and thank you for the stories.
Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate you being on. Renee, if you can hang around a second, I want to talk more to you about what's coming up and also the quarterly meetings you do as well for folks.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 8:55, and we continue for a couple more minutes here with Renee Bernberg-Silberman. She and her husband are second-generation survivors, their parents, and the Holocaust. The phrase never again, what does that mean to you?
I think never again originally meant that a horrific time in humanity, that technologically advanced murder of 6 million people should never happen again. And unfortunately, there have been genocides since the Holocaust, so I think that the phrase really should be never forget, because the more you learn about the history, the more you can work to prevent it from happening again.
Yeah, well said.
So never again is kind of a worthless phrase.
It's a perfect world thing that doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
Mark Carman.
I'm just very touched, Renee, just listening to you talk. And my dad's a World War II guy too, Steve. So it's, you know, he went in after it was over. He's a part of the cleanup duty, and just it's still emotional for him to talk about the people that went over. It's just a different time. All his friends enlisted, some came back, some didn't, and I haven't been to the museum. I've been to Yad Vashem in Israel, which is quite an experience. As the, you know, that you walk in there and you can just feel it. So I'm assuming that's going on. So I just wanted to thank you for coming in more than anything else. It was really interesting to listen to you.
Thank you, and thank you to your fathers for their service. And the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum is a little different than Yad Vashem, which is also a wonderful institution. But having this museum on our National Mall and including the American experience of liberation.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually how the museum starts, with the story of liberation. It's something that you have to see.
Absolutely.
And well worth the trip. Renee Bernberg-Silberman and the good dentist, Dr. Joseph Silberman, are leading a trip. Sounds trite. What would you call this?
It really is a mission.
Yeah.
It's a little bit longer than 24 hours, where this group of people will come into the museum, meet some of the foremost scholars in the museum who are wonderfully brilliant people, not all Jewish at all,
mm-hmm.
who have spent their professional careers doing research on the Holocaust, research on genocide, how to alert the world to future genocides. We're going to have a private tour of this exhibit, Americans in the Holocaust. We're actually going to have a tour of the Capitol building Sunday evening, and then Monday we go out to the museum's conservation center, which is one of a kind in this country. It's an off-site center where all the evidence of the Holocaust that has been donated, whether by survivors or their family members or liberators, anything having to do with the Holocaust story, it's all restored there and conserved there. And when I go there, I feel like I'm visiting family, because I'm seeing the pictures and the documents that I've donated.
Well, it's got to be very emotional.
It's very emotional, but I feel so good that everything's being taken care of in such a good way.
Oh, that's great.
And also that scholars that are doing research from around the world, they can access my story.
Right.
They can access my parents' and my in-laws' stories to use as part of their research.
Which is beyond helpful. It's vitally important.
Yes, it is.
There are quarterly meetings that go on that you and, I assume, your husband host?
Yes.
And tell me about those.
We hold quarterly meetings for other children of survivors. Even though we each had a unique upbringing, different socioeconomic class, different neighborhoods that we were raised in, we all had in common that our parents survived the Holocaust. And as such, we feel a bond, and we are interested in things and learning about things that the general public may be interested in, but it's especially interesting to us. So, for example, Steve Pressman is a documentarian who did a documentary about 50 children that were rescued by an American family before the war. He's now doing a documentary on what the church, what the Vatican knew before and during the war, and how they reacted. He spoke to our group, which we all had preconceived notions, and it was very interesting in this very safe space for us to share our feelings and our thoughts about what we thought we knew and what we learned from his research. So that's the kind of environment that we try to provide these learning experiences in a safe environment where we can all draw on our past and look forward to the future.
I could talk to you all day. We're not going to have time to do that. I hope you could do a podcast with me and we could talk a little more extensively about it. But before I let you go, did you and your husband, you have children?
Yes, we have four sons.
What's their experience?
They understand the importance of their legacy, of their history, because they knew their grandparents. They know my mother's story the best. She was very close with them. And they also feel this motivation or inspiration to go out and do good in the world.
Well, that's how you pay it forward, right?
That's how you pay it forward.
Every next generation does their share?
Exactly. That's how they feel, and I'm very proud of them.
That's where you get never forget, as opposed to never again.
Exactly.
You're an amazing person.
Thank you.
Very impressed.
We all just do our best.
How do we help you?
Get people to go to the museum, to support the museum, to understand that the history is important and the lessons are important for the future.
And if anybody's listening had no idea that you guys existed in this way and want to help, how do they get a hold of you?
The best way would be through the Midwest office of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. The Midwest office is in Highland Park. If you go,
easy to Google?
Easy to Google, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
And like I said, I hope we can do a podcast, talk a little more extensively.
Thank you.
USHMM, USHMM.org, that is the website for the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington. And if you're going to D.C. for any reason, please put that on your list.